Number 221. I had wandered far away in a land of mighty foes, and my soul had felt the bitterness of sin. I was battling with the Lord that the truth of God opposed. Among the saved I was not confident. Confident. Whosoever will believe is confident. For the jubilee of joy in the heavens then is hard. When the soul among the saved is confident. Number 221.
Thank you.
for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is thou once again in thy presence. Father, we come before thee again this evening with thanksgiving in our hearts for thy continued goodness and mercy to us. We thank thee for so many gathered here this evening in such quiet, peaceable circumstances. We thank thee for here, our God, none daring to make us afraid. We can gather our God around thy word in peace and in quietness, and open it and read therefrom. And our Father, as we send us the blessings that showered upon us, we will be mindful tonight of those that are in different places tonight. Those who have not the privilege we have. Those, our God, because of the powers that be, they cannot gather as we are this evening. But our God, we realize that in these far-off lands, there are people that belong to the Lord. They're thine own dear people. And we do pray for them, that thou will bless them and sustain them and strengthen them. And grant our God and Father, although things may at times be very difficult, they might bear a bright testimony, and fruit might be born for thy glory. We do pray, our God and Father, now that thou wilt look upon us as we're gathered here this evening. Thou knowest, our God, the purpose of our gathering. We're gathered that once more we might seek to tell forth the old story of Jesus and his love. We do thank thee, our God, again for thy great love toward us. Thou hast reminded us earlier this day of thy great love and the giving of thy only begotten Son, the darling of thy bosom, the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven's very best, for earth's very worst. We thank thee, O God, that thou wilt spare him from thy sight, send him into this world, in order that he might seek and save that which was lost. We realize tonight, O God, this was the only way. There was no other way back to thyself. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let the sinner in. Remember, O God, through the Old Testament times of how sacrifice after sacrifice was offered upon Jewish altars. But those sacrifices could never take away sin, nor make the commerce thereunto perfect. But we thank thee, our God, that when he came, he could say, a body hast thou prepared me. Behold, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me, to do thy will, O my God. Thou takest away the first, that thou mayest establish the second. And so, our God, tonight we thank thee for the second man, the Lord from heaven. Remember the first man, our God, he grieved thee. The first man he did obey. The first man brought in sin. The first man, our God, was alienated and separated from thee. But we remember, our God, of how thou had to search them out of the garden. And of how thou would say, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. And the man thou would say, in the sweet of thy face shalt thou earn thy bread, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And remember that for flaming sword was placed to guard the way to the tree of life. But O Lord God, we thank and bless thee that the second man, the Lord from heaven, was a man that walked in perfect obedience to thy mind and will, a man that brought glory to thy name. And our God, although the first man brought in death, we bless thee, our God, the second man, thy only beloved Son. He brought life, eternal life, to all who will come and trust him as their own personal Savior. And so, our God, it's with this desire in our hearts that we might exalt this man, that we might speak highly of him, that we might set him forth as the only Savior. And O Lord God, we do pray for thy help and for thy strength and for thy guidance in this. That there be those in our meeting who have still never looked upon him by faith, never received him as their own personal Savior. O Lord, Father, that this night they might see the need of him. That this night, O Lord God, they might realize what he has done for them, and that they might embrace him and make him their very own this evening. O blessed be the call still comes forth from his own athletic lips. Come unto me, all ye that live and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We thank thee, O Lord God, tonight that none need perish. All may live, for Christ has died. So we ask thy blessing, and seek thy guidance as we prepare to meet this evening. Lord, draw near, sustain and help thy servants wherever they are fled. The glorious message of the gospel. Thou knowest our utter inability and weakness, Father. We're conscious, O Father, of how unworthy we are to take thy word into our hand, to take this message upon our lips. But Lord, we pray, please, to draw near. Present thyself amongst us. Grant us thy power and blessing, we pray. And grant that the outcome of this meeting might be glory to thy great and holy name. This we ask in the name and for the sake and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We will sing again hymn number 226. Hymn number 226. Come to the Savior, come to the Savior, thou sin-stricken offspring of mine. He left his throne above to reveal his wondrous love and to open a fountain for sin. Hymn number 226. hours to 7 tonight to glorify God and watch the scripture. First we'll find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26. While you're finding the place, we do give everybody a hearty welcome to the meeting here this evening. We're very glad to see so many along. We do trust that the Lord blessed might rest upon you, that you might be blessed through hearing His word read here this evening. Remember, the meetings again as usual throughout the week. Everybody is invited back again. I understand that this next weekend we hope to have our dear brother Mr. Randall from Nairn amongst us. He'll be here for the ministry meeting on Friday night, and again for the meetings next Lord's Day, God willing. Do try and come back again. Tell others. We long to see as many as possible coming in under the sound of the word of God, that you might hear His voice in this your day and generation, and be blessed with the blessing that He alone can give. Remember the meeting too, after this meeting out at the public hall and sound, just a short way out the road, the back of the Swedish houses, there's a little public hall there, and we hope to have a meeting there after this meeting at 8 o'clock, mainly in view of the dear people that are in the area. Many newcomers into that area lately, we long to see them coming in under the sound of the gospel. But everybody that can get will be glad to see out there at 8 o'clock this evening. We hope for the next few weeks to have meetings there at Fortnightly Intervals at 8 o'clock, in the hope that we might see some coming in under the sound of God's word, and with the earnest desire and prayer that precious souls might be reached and saved. Now tonight, first of all, a verse or two from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26. Verse 1. And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt sit and stay before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and there became a great nation, great, mighty, and populous. Now over to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 16. Up to verse 15 of this chapter. The Lord and the Levites is bringing before the people of Israel the many blessings that God has showered upon them from that time He brought them out of Egypt. Yet He says, despite all those blessings, in verse 16, they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Now to the New Testament, Paul speaking the epistle to Timothy. Thank you. second epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now a final verse in the previous chapter, chapter 24, verse 42. 24 and verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord hath come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known which watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And may God bless to us this reading from His own precious word. Now perhaps you've noticed that in these scriptures we've read together tonight, we have one word brought before us in each of them, and it's the word ready, the word ready. I'm sure that's something off for everyone here tonight, from the youngest to the oldest, you all know the meaning of ready. The children, when they get ready for the school in the morning, they make things ready. The time comes when everything is gathered together and they're ready to go. This time of year, how many are going on holiday? You know, before you go on holiday, you make preparation. You book your passport, you pack your case, and the time comes when you're ready to go. There's nothing more to be done. You're ready to go. And so this is the word that we have brought before us in these packages we have read together tonight. And I would like to lump them together in this way. In the first one, Deuteronomy chapter 26, we have Assyrian ready to perish. Assyrian ready to perish. Nehemiah chapter 9, we have a Savior ready to save. Timothy chapter 4, we have a servant ready to be offered. Matthew chapter 25, we have a saved company ready to meet the bridegroom. And finally, in chapter 24, we have a solemn warning. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Firstly, here in Deuteronomy chapter 26, a Assyrian ready to perish. In the first verses of this chapter, we read the instructions for the children of Israel when they came into the land that was promised them. They were instructed to take the first fruits of the land, to put it into a basket, and they were to go to the priest. And the priest would take the basket out of their hand and set it down before the Lord in the place, before the altar, in the place where it had pleased the Lord to place his name. And the people, when they came with their baskets of first fruits, they were to make this confession, and they were to say, "As Tyrion, ready to perish, was my father, and he went down into Egypt. As Tyrion, ready to perish, was my father." And when they made that confession, that took them back to the days when Jacob and his sons were dwelling in the land of Syria. In Genesis chapter 47, we read there of how the famine within the land of Egypt, of how that had spread to the countries around about. There was a famine in the land. And we read concerning Jacob that the news reached him. He heard that there was corn in Egypt, and he instructs his sons to go down into Egypt and to buy corn, that we may live and not die. There they were ready to perish in the land of Syria. The famine was come upon them. They were ready to perish, but praise God, a message of hope, a message of life reaches his ear. He heard that there was corn in Egypt, and he says, "Go down into Egypt and buy corn in order that we might live and not die." My dear friends, I would like to take that tonight and use it as a picture of you and me and everybody else that's born into this world. For truly, we can make the application tonight to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl outside of Christ. And we can say, not a Syrian ready to perish, but a sinner ready to perish. A sinner ready to perish. For my dear friends, at the very commencement of this another gospel meeting, let me remind you that if you're here tonight, stir your sins, stir away from Christ, you're absolutely ready. As you sit in your seat tonight, you're absolutely ready to perish. You do not need to commit another sin. You do not need to say another swear word. You do not need to commit another sin in any shape or form. You're absolutely ready, right now, ready to perish. Jacob here, he was ready to perish, but because of circumstances over which he had no control. The famine had been brought upon the land. A famine had been brought upon Egypt, and it swept round about the surrounding land. It was circumstances over which he had no control. But nevertheless, there was him and his sons in the land of Syria, and they were starving. They were ready to perish. The famine had reached them. My dear friend, let me remind you that you and me, as we're born into this world, we're born in sin. We have inherited a sinful nature. The scripture says, "In sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity." There are circumstances over which we have no control. We have no control. We were born in that way. We were born in sin because our first parents were sinners. We were born in sin because Adam and Eve sinned so long ago. And we inherited that sinful nature. It was circumstances over which we had no control. But my dear friends, let me remind you tonight that God will never punish a sinner. There will no sinner ever perish because he was born in sin. God has made provision for that. Ample provision for that. God has made provision for that in the person of his beloved Son. Sin that entered in, sins that was in the world was dealt with, fully dealt with at the cross of Calvary, when the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the sin of a guilty world and died underneath our Lord of woe. That sin has been atoned for. Sin has been dealt with. Sin has been put away. He offered himself one sacrifice for sins forever. And having completed the work, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. No sinner will ever perish because they were born in sin. But my dear friend, men and women today are perishing for a multitude because they're rejecting the provision that God has made. They're rejecting what God has offered. In Joseph's day, in Jacob's day, there was a man at that time unknown to Joseph, unknown to Jacob, Joseph his own son. He was the man that was in Egypt, and the message that was running out through Egypt was, go to Joseph, go to Joseph. Joseph had been there before. Joseph is a striking picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph had made preparation. The storehouses in Egypt had been filled during years of plenty, and there was provision for them down in the land of Egypt, and the message was, go to Joseph. My friend, if the message never had reached Jacob, if Jacob never had availed himself of the provision that was made, he would have perished there in the land of Syria. But thank God the message reached his ears. He heard that there was corn in Egypt. He availed himself of the provision that was made. They went down into Egypt, and there they lived and grew, and became a great and mighty nation, great, mighty, and populous. And oh, my friend, you have to thank God tonight, those of you who are saved and on your way of heaven, that the message of salvation ever reached our ears. Praise God for the time when we were first awakened to realize that we were sinners in the sight of God, sinners in need of God's salvation, sinners ready to perish. But praise God, the message of the gospel reached us that God had made provision in the person of his beloved Son. And thank God for everyone who availed themselves of that offer of mercy, came to Christ in all their need, and accepted him as their own personal Savior. My dear friends, I wonder, in this gospel meeting this evening, can it be said that everyone gathered here this evening has made themselves, availed themselves of that opportunity, of that offer of mercy, of that which God is offering you tonight, a full, tonight a full and free in eternal salvation through the person and work of his beloved Son? Or can it be that there's still some neglecting it, still some rejecting it, still some going on in their own way, going on in their sin, and like Jacob, there is sinners tonight ready to perish, ready to perish. In contrast to Jacob being in a position over which he had no control, when we turn to the New Testament, we have in Luke chapter 15 the story of the prodigal son. And there we have another that was perishing in a far country. You remember the prodigal, he says to his father, he says, Father, get me the portions of goods that follow to me. And he took his journey, and he went into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. My dear friends, we're born in sin and shaken in iniquity. But I fear the prophet reminds us that we go astray as soon as we be born. And my friends, as we look back over our past life tonight, how many of us have been like the prodigal? We have taken our own way. We have committed sin that we knew was sin. We have taken our own way. We have had a rebellious heart, and we have taken our own course, and we have gone out and into this poor, sinful, ungodly world. And many like the prodigal today is wasting their substance and riotous living. But God's eye was upon him, and God in his mercy spoke to him. And you remember again, a famine was brought upon the land. And when the famine came, we read that the prodigal began to be in want. And his mind turns back to his father's house, to the times that he had in his father's house,
of all the provision that was made for him in his father's house. And he says, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I perish with hunger. He has taken his own way. He has gone into the world. He has gone into sin. And all the evil that was there for the taking, he has wasted his substance, and now he's perishing in the far country. My dear friends, how many have done that? The restraint of the Father's house, they could no longer bear. They wanted to be away from the Father's house. They wanted to be out into the world and taste of all that had to offer. But oh, my dear friend, I trust tonight, if you're there, if you're going on in sin, if you're going in for the things of the world, if you're trying to satisfy yourselves with the broken cisterns, that tonight you realize, Mr. Prodigal, that you're perishing in the far country. Remember this, my friend, tonight, if you're still in your sin and away from God, you're ready to perish. You're absolutely ready now to perish, and it's only the mercy of God that's keeping you out of a yawning hell. Think of what it means to perish, to be lost, to be separated from God for all eternity, to weep and wail in the caverns of the lost, to perish, to perish. Oh, my friend, God forbid that you should perish. God forbid that you should be lost. Be like the prodigal tonight. He says, I will arise and go to my father. He made a roundabout turn, and praise God, he comes back, and he finds that there's a father ready to pardon. A father ready to pardon. That's what we have in the book of Nehemiah. Thou art a God ready to pardon. A ready to pardon. A savior ready to save. You remember Paul writing to Timothy again, he could say, exhort the people that with prayer and supplication they might give thanks unto the Lord, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. My friend, if you're in the far country tonight, if you're a sinner tonight, still in your sins and away from God tonight, God loves you. God longs to bless you. God longs to reach you and to bring you back to himself again. Hear the words of Nehemiah, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Despite all their sinfulness and waywardness, yet God in his love and mercy was looking upon them. My dear friend, no matter what your past life has been, no matter how sinful you've been, no matter how you've backslidden, no matter how you've gone up, how far you've gone from in your sin, no matter what your past has been, listen, my friend, God loves you. Hear the words again. Thou art a God, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great, and of great kindness, the love of God. Despite all the sin, my friend, God had every right to turn his clock upon them and leave them to their own way. But no, he loved them far too much for that. My friend, no matter what your past life has been, no matter what you've said or what you've done, there's a God in heaven tonight that loves you, longs to see you coming back again, longs to see you returning in repentance, coming back again to himself. Thou art the God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Think of it, friend, the love of God towards you and me, that are so unworthy, we who are so insignificant, we have taken our own way. Yet God in high heaven, he looks down upon us, and he longs to bless us and reach us with his salvation. He longs to save us. He longs to bless us with salvation. Oh, tonight, my dear friend, will you return unto this God that's longing to pardon you, longing to save you, forgive you every sin, if you'll only return in true repentance. I hear the prophet say, seek ye the Lord when he may be found. Call upon him for he is here. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, he'll forgive you, my friend, he loves you so much. Friend, surely the proof of his love is Calvary. The proof of his love is Calvary. Back again to Timothy's epistle, to Paul's epistle to Timothy, there he says that thou, that God, there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all. And to save you and me, my friend, the Son of God came from heaven's highest glory, came down to the scene of sin and shame, and he went all the way to the cross of Calvary. I wonder tonight, friend, is the love of God ever touched your heart? Has it ever reached you, the love of God? To think that God cares so much for you that he could send his Son from heaven into the same thing that you've seen. Not only that, my friend, but he could give him up to the shameful death of the tree. There on Calvary, as you lift your eyes to the middle cross and see the Son of God lifted up between heaven and earth, railed to that Roman shepherd, crowned with a crown of thorns, and he's there suffering and bleeding and dying to save your precious soul. My friend, if you have no concern for your own soul, God loves you. God is a concern. God is a care. So much so that his Son in Calvary has given his very life's blood to cleanse your sin, for nothing else could do it. Nothing else could do it. Oh, friends, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace or take away one stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, took all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. That's what it took, friend, to cleanse your stain. And can it be after the death of Christ? Thank God it was a sin atoning death. It was an acceptable sacrifice, for on the third day your rib was raised again from among the dead, and he's tonight seated at God's right hand in the glory. Christ is risen, my friend. Christ is risen. Christ is on high tonight, and God Christ tonight offers you a full and a free salvation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And thank God, my friend, there was a man, the man that really rebelled in Timothy's second epistle, the man Paul, he was a man that embraced this message. He embraced this message that day in the Damascus Road, when he was going about to persecute the Lord's people, there was a light that shone round about him, about the brightness of the noonday sun. And you remember he fell upon his face, and he heard those words, Lord, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What a revelation. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Up to this time he tells King Agrippa that he thought he had to do all things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. But what a revelation. He realizes now that this very one that he's doing all things contrary to is the very one that's alive in the power of an endless life. Christ is risen. He's in high, and he sees him, and he knows him, and he sees his every movement, and he realizes all that's going on in his life. And my dear friend, God sees you tonight. God knows you tonight. The Lord Jesus knows and sees all that's going on in your life. Every time that holy name is taken upon your lips in blasphemy, he hears every word. Every time you sin, he sees and knows every thought and every action. He knows it all. He's risen. He's in high, my friend. The day is coming when he's coming back again as the judge of all the earth. No, my friend, what a serious thing it will be as you go on in your sin, and that accumulation of sin is against you at the great judgment day. What a calamity, what a calamity. Tonight, friend, realize that there is a God in heaven. There's a Savior looking down, and he's hovering over and blessing today, and he's longing to save you and forgive you and cleanse you of your only name on your own by simple faith. He couldn't offer you this in simpler terms. simply through believing faith. Believing faith. Oh, friend, tonight, will you take the guilty sinner's place? Will you realize that you're a sinner ready to perish tonight? Will you realize that there's a Savior ready to save you tonight? And will you turn to Him and embrace Him tonight by faith? Accept Him as your own personal Savior. Thank God the Apostle Paul did that when he was Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. And he went on throughout his life to prove that Jesus not only saves, but Jesus keeps. And what a life of sacrifice, what a life he spent for the glory of God. A man that was prepared to lay everything at his master's feet. A man that starved and starved faithfully to the journey's end. Now the time was coming when he's drawing near to the end of the journey, and he takes up his pen and he writes this letter to young Timothy that's coming on after him. And he says, "Oh, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but a crown to all them that love His appearing. I have the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Here was a man that was drawing near to the end of the journey. His life's work was now almost over. He was very soon, death was very soon to overtake him. But thank God, he was ready to go. He was ready to go. He was ready to go. The servant that had labored so faithfully, the servant that had labored so diligently for his blessed Lord. Oh, my dear friends, I wonder tonight, those of us who are saved and on our way to heaven, surely as we get down to the Word of God and look at something of the life of that great man, the Apostle, how it puts us to shame to see how little we do, how little exercise we have, how little concern we have when we look at the man that was prepared to lay everything in the altar. And oh, how he prayed for a second thing, how he longed to see them saved. You remember his heart's desire and prayer to God for his sons, that they might be saved, that they might be saved. The time has now come for him to go, and he's ready to be offered. He's ready to go. He's ready to die. My dear friend, are you ready tonight? Are you ready tonight? God knows death may come. Death is coming, 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 and the judgment day. Oh, my friend, are you ready? Should the cold hand of death be laid upon you tonight? Are you ready to go? And will it be a departure into eternity without Christ, without God, and without hope for all eternity? Here was a man that was ready to go, ready to go. Are you ready to go tonight, my dear friend? A sinner ready to perish, a savior ready to save, a servant ready to be offered. But when we come to Matthew chapter 25, we have a saved company that's ready to meet the bridegroom. At midnight the cry was made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. My friend, death may come, and death may come at any moment. God knows in our short lifetime, we have seen young, we have seen old, we have seen middle-aged, cut off without a moment's warning. Death may come at any moment. It may be you, it may be me. Friend, I say again, are you ready? But something else that may happen, and may happen at any moment. For I firmly believe, my friends, there's not one iota of scripture to be fulfilled. There's not one thing to enter. The Lord Jesus Christ coming to me there this very evening. The Lord is coming again. And that's what we have brought before us here in Matthew chapter 25. The Lord is coming again. The bridegroom, the midnight, the cry was made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And should the Lord come tonight, my friend, should that parting shout be heard tonight, should the trumpet sound be heard, the living change, the dead in Christ raised, and together caught up to meet the Lord in the air,
Friend, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to come? Should the Lord come tonight, friend, and take the ransom company home? Every saved soul thank God would go. All that are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, saved by a sovereign grace and washed in the precious blood, they would rise to meet the Lord in the air. Should he come tonight, my friend, the whole ransom company would go. I ask you, friend, would you be left behind? Would you be left behind? Oh, think of it, loved ones going. Father, a mother, a sister, a brother, saved by sovereign grace, they hear the quickening shout, they rise to meet the Lord in the air. And you are left behind. And you are left behind. The last verse of the read in Matthew chapter 24 was these solemn words. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Son of Man cometh. Matthew chapter 24, we have a reference to his coming in his kingly character. But my dear friends, whether it be his coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, or whether it be the day when he comes to Medea to receive from this world his own, my friends, we know not the day nor the hour. We know not the day nor the hour. And that first appearing when he comes to Medea, it may take place, I say again, at any moment. You remember when he was here upon earth, he laid out his disciples as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them, and he was departed from them and carried up into heaven. Now as the disciples stood gazing up into heaven, the angelic message reached their ears. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Again, while he was upon this earth, he says, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The Lord is coming again. The Lord is coming again. At any moment the Lord may come. And my friend, if he comes, and here you are, still in your sins, still away from God, still ready to perish. God forbid that he should find you in that condition. But oh, friends, tonight that you will heed the warning. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That tonight you might pray preparation. Tonight, friend, you might realize your need as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Tonight you'll simply come by faith and receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. On the cross of Calvary, he died for your sin. He there shed his precious blood. And on Calvary, he cried, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He was raised again from among the dead. He was ascended up on high. He seated at God's right hand. And now as a Savior, he's mighty and able and willing to save you. Oh, friend, tonight can you look back to a time when you saw yourself a sinner ready to perish, when you bowed the knee in all your deeds and accepted Christ as your own personal Savior. If you've never had that experience, my friend, let me tell you, you're still in your sin. Salvation is a real thing. It's not an empty profession. It's a real thing. It's a receiving Christ. It's getting new life. It's becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's a glorious reality. My friend, has it been a reality in your life? Or is it still the case that you're still without God and without hope in the world? Oh, I trust tonight, friend, that in the closing moments of this another gospel meeting, you'll realize your deep and dire need. You'll bow the knee and you'll accept Christ as your own personal Savior. Praise God, when you do that, your sin will be forever gone. Cleansed, washed, forever gone. And you'll be fitted for his immediate presence. Fitted to meet the heavenly bridegroom. You'll be ready to go at his appearing. God grant that may be so. For his name's sake, we send the closing at number 519. And number 519. The Lord is coming by and by, be ready when he comes. He comes from his fair home and high, be ready when he comes. He is the Lord our righteousness,
and comes his chosen ones to bless. That his father's throne confess. Be ready when he comes. Come number 519.
Thank you.
Father has washed and finished. And we do thank and bless thee, Father, for thy plan of salvation. We thank thee, O God and Father, that thou wouldest not the death of any. Thou art not willing that any should perish, but that all should be brought to repentance. So, O God, we pray that thou wilt speak to men and women, young or old, in this meeting tonight, who may still be in their sins and away from thyself, ready to perish. O God, that thou wilt bring before them that deep and dire need, to be lost and lost forever, what it will mean. Lord God, that they might realize their danger, realize their need, and our Father, that something of the great love of God and the giving of His Son might touch their hearts this evening. We do thank and bless thee, O God, for the prodigal of long ago, who could say, I will arise and go to my Father. Now, O Father, we do pray that if there be one tonight in the far country, one tonight found their sin and away from thyself, that this might be the decision of their heart, that they might arise, that they might return tonight, that they might come to God in true repentance. And we thank thee, O God, that just as the Father that day was longing to welcome and pardon his erring son, so, O God, out of thy great heart of love today, thou art still waiting to and longing to welcome and pardon the whosoever will may come. Grant, O God and Father, grace to take the humble place tonight. Grace, O God, to make confession tonight. Grace to return tonight and receive Christ as their own personal Savior. As we ask now, as we commit and commend ourselves to thee, and ask thy parting blessing in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.